All right, but listen, let me jump over to my comments. My opening monologue today, I got to tell you, one of the things that really strikes me as being far more prevalent than we've ever seen it in the past is the idea that you're just not allowed to have an opinion. If liberals don't like what you're saying, then you're not just, it's not just that they disagree. It's that they will try to ruin you to prevent you from ever being allowed to say it again. That is not okay. There's a vast difference between someone saying, I don't intend to take my kids to Disney World this week because I disagree, or this year because I disagree with their positions on whatever. Or I'm not going to buy this product anymore because of their advertising. It's vastly different when you go after the person who owns the company, shout them down in public, make sure that everybody understands that you believe that they are in some way a criminal or need to be at least put down, and start doxing all their friends. That's a big difference. That kind of cancel culture is literally what we're seeing way too often. Have you noticed this trend, though? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not that new, but it certainly seems more prevalent. I mean, there's this notion that unless you've lived the same life, had the same experiences, shared the same skin color, lived the same lifestyle, had the same losses or victories or likes or dislikes, that you're not entitled to your opinion. Well, that's not only a narrow and short-sighted view, it's also just plain wrong. Yesterday, I read a really interesting article on National Review. It was titled, Inside the Shameful Cancellation of Jihad Rehab. I'll talk about that in a minute. But it was written by a guy named Sebastian Younger. Sebastian Younger is a great author. He's written a number of award-winning articles and books. Among his works are The Perfect Storm and Restrepo, both of which have been made into feature films. He's an immersion writer who often goes to the site, lives with the characters when he can, and then writes in a way that, whether or not the reader disagrees or agrees with his findings, no one can say he didn't do his homework. But see, here's the thing. The Perfect Storm was about Gloucester fishermen. Restrepo was about soldiers in Afghanistan. Well, Sebastian Younger has never been a soldier, although he did spend a good deal of time in the trenches of Afghanistan with soldiers who fought and bled and became the feature of his best works. He's also never been a commercial fisherman, but he told the story of the men of the Andrea Gale who were Gloucestermen who were caught in a 100-year nor'easter. No one ever questioned Sebastian Younger's ability to fully engage and represent the details of the lives of his real-world characters. It was apparent that he was not only adequately informed, perfectly prepared, but also fully capable of providing his impressions to the world. In short, Sebastian Younger had a right to his views. So it's only fitting, then, that Sebastian Younger is the one who wrote the article I just talked about a moment ago. The article, like I said, was a National Review. It was called Inside the Shameful Cancellation of Jihad Rehab. It's an article that calls out modern cancel culture, that denies the same cancel culture that denies anyone the ability to have, much less share, an opinion if they're not an original member of the social fabric of the group being written about. Well, the basis for Younger's article in National Review was the cultural execution of a massive documentary that was 5 years in the making. A young rising star of the documentary filmmaking industry was named Meg Smaker, and she spent untold hours traveling the world, even living in Afghanistan, to prepare a groundbreaking documentary on the lives of former Islamic jihadists, a number of whom had been detained at Guantanamo Bay for years. And I got to tell you, it was not going to be a rosy pro-USA film, not at all. But it was also going to highlight the radicalization of young Muslim men who choose a path of terrorism. So Smaker, she invested her life savings. She had some big-name backers. It took her 2 years just to get the necessary permission from the Saudi government to go and interview the men who were going through an in-depth program that was designed to help them de-radicalize at a facility known by many people as the Jihad Rehab. That's why the film had that name. We're told the film met with rave reviews. It literally stunned everyone who saw it. It was tough and yet compassionate. It was thorough and yet discreet. PR firms were lining up to promote it. Major film festivals wanted it aired. The debut was set for the dream to come true at the 2022 Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. At least it was, until cancel culture decided that it was not a white Western woman's place to create an award-winning film about Muslim men. Never mind the film had received approval from the Saudi government and from several respected Islamic scholars. Never mind that not a single film festival had failed to extend an invitation. But yet they all began to withdraw their support, and their invitations were declined when the threats began. Radical Islamic groups, along with social media influencers, just trounced on Meg Smaker, smeared her film, doxed her financial backers, and they attempted to malign anyone listed in the credits of her film as having worked in the production. In describing the feeding frenzy that happened, Sebastian Younger said, here's a quote, "In recent years, activists in the film and publishing worlds have tried to create a kind of moral monopoly over certain topics by maintaining that no one can speak about injustice that they haven't experienced. Such injustice, in fact, now seems to be as carefully guarded as a financial asset, which in some way it is." What Younger was saying is that many believe that the film industry is devoted, kind of devolved into topical turf wars where no one else is allowed to have an opinion, nor can they ever profit then, from telling the story of any class or demographic or lifestyle of which they are not already a part. Well, Younger labeled this phenomenon, this tyrannical policing of inclusiveness, as a problem he called authorship. He specifically said, the authorship or inclusion principle insists that filmmakers share the ethnic and cultural identity of their subjects, and not only are they outsiders incapable of understanding the experiences of others, they don't even have the right to try. Well, y'all, this is a problem. This is a big problem. But it's not just in the film industry. It's rampant right now in culture, cancel culture. Younger points out that if we're going to run this road, it'll dramatically change the film industry as one example in that no one is going to be able to make a film outside of their own little box. And like I just said, it's everywhere right now. In case you didn't already know, I happen to be a guy, a dude. I'm a white dude, a white heterosexual dude. I'm a white heterosexual Christian dude. I'm an American. I'm a veteran. I'm a Southerner, a husband, father, a grandfather. So if I ever write a book, does that mean I'm not allowed to tell the story about my Muslim friend from Afghanistan? I can never tell a story or have an opinion about a black guy from New York? Am I allowed to have an opinion about racism? Can I have an opinion about radical Islam? Can I decide things like drag queen story time is a bad idea for children without being called homophobic? Can I discuss broken families despite the fact that I've been married for 36 wonderful years? Well, the answer to all of that is actually yes. Not just a little yes, but like an all caps yes. No one can tell any of us that we're not entitled to our opinion. You don't have to agree with it. That's why it's called an opinion. But neither do they have the right to try and destroy another person's life for differing from their opinion. Meg Smaker, she's not yet recovered from the manufactured controversy about her film. Multiple industry insiders, financiers, and PR firms have all issued their diversity, equity, and inclusion apologies for ever associating with her film. In Younger's words, quote, "She was radioactive, and 6 years of hard work had gone down the drain. Her career was effectively destroyed." Well, y'all, this cannot stand. You and I and Meg Smaker and all God's children, we're entitled to an opinion on the matters. Anything we see, dig into the details, you can still have an opinion whether you lived it or not. Our ability to earn a living that is not otherwise illegal, immoral, or unethical should not be subject to cancel culture sycophants sitting at their laptops in the safety of mommy's basement. So make no mistake, hear me when I say this. You are entitled to your opinion, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that I would have watched that movie and not agreed with it. If I'd even watched it at all, I don't know if I would have. I'm not a big documentary guy. I mean, it wasn't going to be pro-USA, like I said. But nonetheless, the amazing thing is because she was a white Western woman that 6 years worth of work that was award-winning and set to make waves in the film industry was trashed simply because someone said that she shouldn't be allowed to have an opinion. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. We can have opinions. And we do. And we're usually solid conservative and just plain right. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Play it. Keep playing.
Let it go.
Keep playing it. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. And, yep, that was a good one. That was that's an epic bump.
It is.
But the only thing wrong with it is I have to let it play out. I can't just jump.
That's the only thing.
I can't just jump in there in the middle. I got to let that thing play out a minute. Hey, by the way, thank you very much to you and Alicia, who is the manager of Mayhem, the head cat herder here in the office.
She is. You're most welcome.
Well, thank you, brother. So I did not know today was Boss's Day, so until I came in today. And then just now, during the break, literally, Alicia says, need you out here. We got a situation. What'd you say? You had a conundrum? We had a conundrum. I thought, a conundrum? What in the world is a conundrum going to happen in the middle of the show? I go out there, and they've got cupcakes and a gift and a card. So for Boss's Day, apparently. So thank you, brother. Appreciate that very
You're welcome.
Much.
All Alicia. She's like she said, she's the manager of Mayhem. She's amazing.
Are you saying you didn't put together the pretty little box of with the gift and all that?
Oh, I definitely picked all of that out. No, sir, I did not.
This is where at Christmas I literally look at my kids and their opening presents and I said, I'm just a financier. I'm just proud to finance your mom's shopping gifts for y'all. So hug my neck too, but understand that it is what it is because of her. And they know it. They do. Every once in a while, though, I surprise them.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to.
You have to.
We call that freelancing.
Ooh.
That's when dad goes freelancing.
I like that.
And Charlene will give me her list because it got so difficult to do the shopping, you know. I can't keep up with women's fashions and all that. So, okay, here's some advice for you. You ready?
All right, I need some advice.
All right, so here's the deal. So Charlene, we got the thing where she would send me, like she would go through and she would do all of her online shopping. She likes things at White House Black Market or Talbots or whatever else. And she would actually create one big email that has the link to the item with the size and the color. And I would just go through and go, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Well, so there was one time for some reason, I don't know why. But she gave it to me in hard copy, you know, and I had to go find it, and I did. But she's opening presents, and like Caitlin, my daughter, Caitlin's opened her present one night, or for Christmas night, and it's the same thing. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I guess she just wanted to have the same thing. I don't know. And then Charlene opens hers, and she's like,
same thing.
What? And then this went on like two or three presents, Charlene being very, very discreet, very, you know, like, oh, thank you. Honey, but it's the wrong size. Okay. Then we realized what happened.
Oh no.
She gave me her list, but it also had Caitlin's list on the other side, and I shopped off the wrong side of the page.
Oh no.
So I bought,
didn't flip the side. So yeah, I mean, but you didn't know.
I didn't know.
You just saw the list.
She must like that stuff. I don't know. What do you do? You know? I'm just a dude.
I'm just a dude.
What's a dude supposed to do?
I read the list.
I did. I followed the list.
Followed the list.
By golly. I mean, got a guy some slack. Oh, man. Text lines are open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You can call in, text in. Love to hear from you. Brian from Huntsville's already texting in saying, oh, hang on. I think he's getting to you about the game here, brother. Brian from Huntsville texts in and says, dear Boomer, friend of the Tennessee Valley, you will survive Saturday's game. Your team, he's patronizing you in a huge way. Brian, that's like,
wow, Brian.
Wow,
thanks.
Brian, that's, I even I can smell the schmarm off that one. That was awful. The next one, though, JT from Lacey Springs says, I'm perplexed. Who's the boss? Alicia. Alicia's the boss. Some reason she gave me the cupcakes, but Alicia is the boss of Right Side Radio, and we all know it, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
She tells us where to be and how to dress, and we just say, yes, ma'am, and we just show up. And she's probably listening right now out there in her office. So, Alicia, you're the boss, at least for right now. You're the boss. Okay. All right, folks, listen, we got a huge show laid on for you. Coming back up after the break, I'm going to jump right in. Toxic everything. Like, what exactly is toxic positivity? How about toxic masculinity? Toxic masculinity. You know what? No, I ain't buying it. It's just a liberal way of saying Don't be conservative. That's what I think. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.